Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
On today's Part of My Take, we are still in Washington, D.C. for the Midsummer Classic.
District of Champions.
The
respect on
the
that
hottest place on earth is also what they call it.
Yeah, you think so?
It was pretty hot today. So we're in D.C. We have all-star Christian Yelich from the Milwaukee Brewers. Probably one of our like most emotional interviews we've ever done. We got deep into the Jose Fernandez stuff. Really, really awesome guy. Really cool interview. He is a young, upcoming star in Major League Baseball, just growing the game. We also have the Mount Rushmore of events to pregame before, not including sports, because sports obviously are number one. And because it is Wednesday, we have Guys on Chicks. Before we get to all of that,
whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Well, all right, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Wednesday, July 18th, and baseball is back.
Baseball's back in a big way.
Whew.
I mean, you talk about stealing the show.
Home run derby, baby.
Was electric.
Yeah, Bryce Harper cheated. Everyone got upset. Actually,
his dad cheated.
Yeah, his dad cheated. And if you got upset about that, and I love Kyle Schwarber, you are the biggest loser in the world because it's the home run derby.
Some of us like rules, big cat.
It's there for fun.
If there aren't rules, then we devolve into chaos. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
So the big controversy is his dad was not allowing his mammoth dong shots to drop before he was throwing the next pitch.
Which was cool.
Sorry for partying. I was hitting the ball too high and too hard. Well,
Bryce Harper had like 3 balls in the air at one time. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was a great, like, Schwarber was great. Bryce Harper was great. Max Muncy was great. Like, the whole entire event was great. And then the All-Star game was pretty damn good itself because he had some big timely home runs, some good pitching. So I'm declaring it.
A lot of credit to Washington, D.C. for really coming through in the clutch. That's what we do in this
city. I've decided, by the way, that I am addicted. I don't even think Bryce Harper's actually going to go to the Cubs, but I'm addicted of just saying Bryce Harper's going anywhere. Because being in Washington, D.C., no, I don't even care. You can say Yankee, you can say Dodger, anything, because being in Washington, D.C. and talking to Nats fans, they're like, yeah, we know he's gone.
Yeah.
It's just like so fun to just be like, yeah, Bryce Harper, can't wait to see him in, you know, Dodger Blue. Can't wait to see him in Pinstripes. Can't wait to see him at Wrigley.
It's not even like a troll anymore.
It's just stating fact.
We commonly agree
that,
yes, Bryce Harper is no longer going to be a National next year. His dad, I feel like, could step in and make a roster.
Yeah.
You see the forearms on that guy?
Yeah.
They were like Saquon's quads.
Beast. Also, Bryce Harper, baseball is fully back because it finally got the Colin Cowherd seal of approval. You know his Manalytics, which we are actually unironically fans of.
Mm-hmm.
We actually believe in Manalytics. He's got new sabermetrics for his Manalytics. BIS.
No, B. Yeah, yeah,
BIS, right. BIS, butts in seats. RSO, Rockstar Quotient, and HYG, Hide Your Girl.
RSQ.
RSQ,
Rockstar Quotient,
yeah. HYG, Hide Your Girl.
And Bryce Harper is, I guess he's leading in the Triple Crown for all three of those categories.
Yeah, he said.
The Hide Your Girl, I guess that has to do. But Colin Cowherd went on about a 10-minute diatribe on how handsome Bryce Harper was.
Well, yeah.
Like with the hair.
Big bandana guy.
He was like, you see a guy with a bandana, keep your girl away from
him. He said it's the reasons why Bryce Harper is leading the league, even though Bryce Harper's hitting like, what, like 240?
215.
Yeah, 215. Yeah. Oh, geez, yeah. I was being very gracious.
Very,
but
very generous.
But if you're going by the hide your girl quotient, you will know that Bryce Harper is off the charts because he has a bandana. And now he's – Colin Cowherd actually said that Bryce Harper, based on the home run derby, made $150 million last night. He's going to go from a $300 million guy to a $450 million guy because all the owners in baseball are going to lick their lips and be like, I want a piece of that ass.
Well, Colin Cowherd has a tremendous track record as a GM.
Yes.
That's why he's been very successful in that position.
Yeah, John Wall, bust.
Bust. Big bust. Time bust.
Yeah. All right, so we are in Washington, D.C. It's been a good time. It's been a fun time. It's hot as shit. Oh, Christian Yelich just hit a home run.
There we go.
So live. This is reporting,
breaking
first reported
moves.
On Pardon My Take. We have Christian Yelich interview coming up. He just hit a home run.
I don't want to take all the credit for it, but I feel like we should get some of the credit
for
that. Oh,
without a doubt.
We really got the juices going for Christian.
We doubted him, as you'll hear in this interview. We doubted his home run abilities, and therefore he's just proved us wrong.
Massive credit.
May
to us.
At some point have to do something I very much regret, as you will also find out in the interview. What else we got? We got Le'Veon Bell is basically, Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers are never, ever getting back together.
Well, they're in a constant short-term relationship with each other.
But now he's holding out.
You know that couple that everybody knows, it's like it's a super chaotic relationship. They're always like getting into fights in bars in front of everybody,
right.
But they end up just going home together every time. That's kind of what the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell have been like for the last 6 years.
And it's weird because I actually like... It's one of those situations that both sides are kind of right. Like, Le'Veon Bell is the best running back probably in the NFL when you count for the fact that he's an unbelievable catcher and he does so much for that offense. But it would be crazy to sign a running back in their late 20s to a long-term deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know really what you do.
Well, kind of what they've done with Bell is exactly what the Redskins, or excuse me, the R-words have done with Kirk Cousins, which is they keep giving him a series of one-year deals with a franchise tag. But the only difference is, as a running back, when you hit the age 27,
right?
Like, it's a lot different. You can't go out and get a $90 million guaranteed contract as a running back.
No, so I don't know why he doesn't just take the 15 mil.
He just doesn't want to get hurt.
Right, but people are going to say he's going to sit out half the year, give away half of it, and then is someone else going to give him a long-term deal? I doubt it. No one's going to give him a four-year deal with, like, a ton of guarantees.
I would not put anything past Dan Snyder.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's actually a good
point.
Come on. As long as Dan Snyder, that's probably Le'Veon Bell's entire strategy. As long as Dan Snyder owns the R words, I should hold out and stay as fresh as possible because anything younger than 35, he'll slap like 6-year contract.
Yeah, that's exactly. And Dan Snyder's probably a little bit upset that Kirk Cousins, how that whole thing shook out. So he's like, now's my time to not make the same mistake again and sign this 27-year-old player to a long-term contract.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, future Washington R-word, Le'Veon Bell. You heard it here first on Part of My Team.
I'm just ready for the Mike Tomlin has lost locker room talk.
That's kind of been going on.
Yeah, there's a little buzz.
It's been off and on, but you know what? I think getting rid of Todd Haley, I think that'll buy him a year.
Yes,
I think
at least a year.
I think Todd was probably trying to take the locker room from him. I wouldn't be shocked if Todd... He seems like a big urinate indoors kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
like probably pissed on a few walls just trying to mark his scent.
Yes.
And take over the locker room. So I think Tomlin's got another year before we get that conversation again.
All right. Should we do Hot Seat Cool Throne before we go to our Mount Rushmore?
Let's do it.
All right. Hank, go.
My hot seat is LeVar Ball. Someone took a picture of him riding coach on a plane. It's kind of a tough look if you're – brand is built on being a big baller.
Middle seat?
He is a coach, though.
Middle
he's
seat?
He's riding coach.
Yeah.
but he's a big baller.
That's what he does.
Yeah, that's
he rides
tough.
Coaches.
No,
he rides coaches till they quit.
You can't be doing that if you're a big baller.
No.
That is a bad – tell me it wasn't middle seat.
No.
Okay.
Aisle seat.
All right. So maybe he paid for, like, the $75 upgrade. That's almost like first class.
Yeah,
you also feel pretty special.
Airline matters here. Is it Spirit Air?
I'm not sure. I'll have to dive in a little more.
If it's Spirit, then
the whole Ball family is like – that's pretty much declaring for bankruptcy.
Yes, that's an issue.
Yeah.
My other hot seat, Travis Scott, didn't know his Kylie Jenner's dog's name, and they're like getting married and have a kid together.
Oh, Travis Scott.
He's a rapper.
Yeah, that's very relatable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because I made that tweet when it was like Kylie Jenner is engaged to Travis Scott. And I was like, Travis Scott sounds like a California teenager who's really good at like goofy foot skateboarding. Everyone's like, he's a rapper.
Yeah.
Like, oh, whoops.
Travis Scott. Yeah, that's a big-time pop punk band lead singer.
Yeah, right, exactly. But turns out we're both very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know her dog's name?
Yeah, they did an interview with GQ, and they're like asking, how well do you know Kylie? And Kylie was asking him questions. I was like, what are my dog's names? And he was like, I don't know.
Oh, it's multiple dogs?
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
it's like
not fair.
It's like a Cromartie situation here.
Also, if the dogs are under 10 pounds, I feel like you don't have to learn its name.
Yeah, just call it Champ.
That's a rule. Yeah.
Or Pipsqueak.
Or like, yeah, Pee-wee. Fido.
The little one.
Yeah, the little one and the littler one.
You can just be like, I thought it was a cat.
Yeah, and you don't need to know a cat's name.
No,
true. Then my cool throne are Rugrats. So they got announced today that it's coming back.
Fuck yes.
Okay, you know what that means? It's time for some fucking memes.
Yeah.
That show is going to be memeable as
yes,
hell.
It is. Also, big, big come up for gingers everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Justify the Horse. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was featured on Louisville Football's as like promo. It was like Louisville football players and then Justify in the background, like, we're going to be playing fast.
Ooh.
Okay.
So well, yeah. Justify's back in a big way.
Louisville's okay. Had a pretty good run recently.
That's
I can't wait till they have to take down the Justify banner hanging up because it turns out the horse is problematic somehow.
Yeah, because he was just coming everywhere in restaurants here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, the horse used an N-word on the conference call.
How did you see that old tape that Reeves uncovered about Ray Allen basically saying that he didn't go to Kentucky when Rick Pitino was coaching in Kentucky because he went for a visit and he went to Rick Pitino's restaurant and Rick Pitino refused to like come up and talk to him.
Yeah.
It's like, Ray Allen, you dodged a bullet.
Yeah,
Rick could have gotten came on.
Rick was busy
at
the time.
Like, that was actually, looking back on that, now knowing what we know now, mm-hmm. Ray Allen, you're a lucky one.
Yep.
So, is that it, Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. PFT?
All right, my hot seat, normal DUIs on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Just old-fashioned DUIs are on the hot seat because Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, pled guilty to an extreme DUI.
Which is actually... Like, that's just being an extreme Cardinal.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the Cardinal way.
That is the Cardinal way. It's like extreme DUI. It's like mixing – if you mix Long Island iced teas with Surge.
Yes.
It's like it's the X Games of DUI.
Yeah.
Actually, I think maybe that's what it is. He was probably just on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Or on a street luge.
Yeah. So what happened? What's going
to
happen?
So he had to pay, I think, like $200,000.
Jesus Christ.
To Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Jesus.
Big culture change going on in the desert. And my other hot seat is...
Oh, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah,
Arizona I've just Cardinals. Been on such a, like, hot, you know, like, laughing about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Dumb brains, yeah.
Yeah, dumb brains. Yachty's going to be the new player manager. I'm so excited. That's what my sources are telling me.
My other hot seat is the Big 12 because Texas football. This could also be filed under Texas football being back.
Oh.
Because they are back. Tom Herman said they have 60 players that can vertical jump over 30 inches, 42 can power clean over 300 pounds, 34 can squat over 500 pounds, and 3 can squat over 600 pounds.
So they just have a bunch of workout heroes.
They have a bunch of really, really strong dudes.
Yeah, gym rats.
In Texas. Yeah, so.
Can they play when the pads are on?
Listen, I don't know if they play football or if they're just bodybuilders.
Right. We're just going to bring back World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, but the idea is, that's pretty fucking intimidating, right?
Yeah, if you just throw out numbers like that. But I feel like any football program could probably do that,
and
right?
They've got 70 players that piss pure clear.
Yeah.
So they're the most hydrated team in NCAA football.
That's
I just
perfect.
Made that up right now, but I'm pretty sure that it's true. But, yeah, you make a good point. It's like I think other schools have weight rooms, too.
Yeah, and, like, okay, so you can bench a lot and you can squat a lot. Can you catch the ball, and do you have a quarterback, and can you stop anyone on third down?
Yeah, it's mostly do you have a quarterback.
Yeah,
And stops people on third
down. Yeah, how many players? How many elite quarterbacks have you recruited as a safety this offseason?
Yeah, and in the Big 12, if you can get two stops on third down, you'll win.
Yeah. My cool throne is making out with your dog.
Oh.
Because Lena Dunham said, hang on, let me pull up her exact quote here.
Okay, yeah, please do. We don't want to get this wrong.
I got to get this.
We cannot get
right.
Lena Dunham's quote incorrect. Don't misquote Lena Dunham's quote about kissing, French kissing her dog.
Hang on, sorry. We'll cut this out.
That was the laziest cut ever.
I listen anyway. What the fuck? It's about the bars. Just need the high frequency noises. That works.
I got it. Okay, got it, yeah.
I got it first.
Okay. Never trust anyone who doesn't regularly French kiss animals. Ha ha.
Okay, wait. All right, so French kiss?
Yeah.
That's a little far.
Yeah, so here's my problem with French kiss. Every now and again, if you're a dog owner, your dog kisses you, you catch a stray.
Yeah.
Right? Every now and again, they'll, like, lick your lips,
mm-hmm.
and their, like, tongue will brush against your teeth by mistake.
Yeah.
That happens. French kissing also implies that your tongue is going into the dog's mouth. That I'm going to draw the line there, unless it's, like, a really good dog. Unless it's Air Bud.
Yeah. I like it because Lena Dunham was, like, trying to be relatable for a second, and she almost got there. Because if you tweeted out, never trust a person that doesn't, like, kiss their dog on the lips, that's mm-hmm. actually a fact.
I agree.
Because, like, it's your dog. You kiss it on the lips. I love my dog. You got to kiss your dog on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
Slipping your dog some tongue, that's fucked up.
That's an issue. Yes. and she deleted it.
Yeah,
so I guess
so
she
knows.
She got roasted enough that she was like, okay, I retract my take. But thoughts and prayers to Lena Dunham's pets. She strikes me as somebody that French kisses, like, cats and, like, ferrets and exotic pets, too.
Iguanas. Yeah, yeah. She's probably had an iguana
She's got a
phase.
Lizard.
Yeah, she's definitely done. We got to do that, Mount Rushmore of pets that...
that you can't trust.
Yeah, that you can't. People who own pets that you're just like, nope.
Yeah, my other cool throne is going to be John Gruden's time machine.
Mm.
Because as we've discussed on
which
the show...
Which we created.
Yes, which we created. As we've discussed on Part of My Take, John Gruden is doing everything that he can do to travel back to the year 1998, I think
mm-hmm.
we settled on.
Yes.
It has reached its logical conclusion with the Raiders bringing back Brent Musburger
yes.
to call their games on the radio next year.
Perfect.
So you are looking live at the year 1998.
I love it.
It's actually in the past.
He's definitely going to have his headset wired into that just so he can listen to Brent. Like, you know, I hope Brent does well.
Yeah.
Uncle Brent's a good friend. I hope he does well. I'm happy that we can at least, like, in some I will never listen to a Raiders radio broadcast, but knowing in some world that Brent is calling a game feels good.
It feels right.
Yes.
And maybe if we're on the road at some point on a Sunday and it's on satellite radio.
Yeah.
We might tune into that.
We would probably tune into that.
Yes.
You're right. That's a good point. All right. My hot seat is actually similar to Hank's. Lonzo Ball's on my hot seat because LeVar said that he could beat LeBron one-on-one, and LeBron wouldn't be strong enough for him back in his heyday. He would just back him down. He was 270 and had the will to win, 2.2 points at Washington State University. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's probably not the best start for the Lonzo-LeBron relationship for LeVar to get on, like, national radio and be like, yeah, I'd beat the fuck out of LeBron one-on-one.
He actually called him weak.
Yeah, he called him weak.
Which
he's
is
too weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he forgets is that LeBron James is, I think he's, what, 290 pounds now?
Yeah.
He's 6'10", 290, and he moves like a point guard.
Yes.
So he's actually bigger than LeVar was.
Yeah. So that's my first hot seat. My second is Elon Musk, because he went after the guy who actually saved the kids in the Thai cave. The guy basically said, like, Elon Musk is a fucking asshole. He showed up with his mini sub that was never going to work, and he did it for publicity, which we all knew, but he just vocalized it. And Elon Musk came back at him and said, I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong, that this sub works, and called him a pedo, which is a very weird move. Elon Musk just further proving that he's not a human being and doesn't know how to converse with other human beings.
Well, it's tough to come back from being called a pedo. So,
yes.
Like, in terms of winning an argument with somebody, that's like a finishing move.
Yeah.
But in order to deploy the finishing move, it's got to be like in Mortal Kombat. Your opponent has to be like wobbly and like totally out of it before you can do the whole, like, you know, expert level, like, crazy move on him, which is calling him a pedo. You don't just jump to that. You got to work your way up to that in an argument. This might be permission. Can I get permission to go there?
Yeah, please do.
the word pedo, I wish it wasn't attached to something like so despicable.
Okay.
Because the word pedo is just like, it sounds like it's a cool name.
Yeah, and like I think in French or Italian, it's like just like riding your bike, right?
Yeah, you pedo.
Yeah,
this guy's and right. Geppetto.
Right. Exactly.
The puppet master himself. Well, he was also obsessed with a little wooden boy.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah,
I retract my pedo. Pedos, we're an anti-pedo podcast.
Yes, we officially are. But it's just so funny. I'm so here for Elon Musk, like just having meltdown after meltdown because everyone realizes he's a fraud and like promising people to go to Mars. Did he ever send out the rocket launchers or the flamethrowers?
Yeah, he sent flamethrowers, but they weren't even flamethrowers. Right. They were like giant candles.
Yeah, they were like huge. They were like the huge lighters that you use for your grill.
Yeah, you couldn't even like burn down an entire elementary school with one.
So Elon Musk.
Total fraud.
Yeah, and further credence to my theory that he's just a front for Jeff Bezos, who I think just went to like $150 billion.
So he is, he's just like, he's being used as a distraction from the real evil billionaire.
Yes, exactly.
We're on to you, Jeff.
All right, my cool throw, and I got one. It is football commercials. So did you see Fox had their football commercial during the MLB All-Star game?
Yeah.
Got me so horny. And Imagine Dragons dropped a new song, which is going to be the perfect pump-up music for college football this fall.
Yeah.
Like, they did an awesome job with this one.
Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Is it really good?
Oh, yeah, it's really
good. Fuck, I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's like perfect. You can actually imagine, you know, like South Carolina playing Clemson on a Saturday night.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah,
that's
so great. Imagine Dragons, you've done it again, you fucking guys, who I actually like you, weirdly. You've done it again. You've given us the perfect pump-up music.
And you know what? When we were watching the All-Star game, hearing the Fox music, even though it's baseball, you just think that it's NFL music.
Oh, Joe Buck's voice. Oh.
Yeah.
It was close.
We are so close.
Fuck summer.
We can smell it.
Yeah, Hank, you know I said that. Fuck summer. All right, let's do it. Mount Rushmore of things you can pregame, not including sports, because sports are easy. Everyone loves to pregame a sports game. Let's do it. Things you can pregame. Who wants to start first?
Why don't you go first, Big Cat?
All right, I'll go first. All right. My first one will be easy. Just going a night out. There's nothing better than the pregame, big bar night, whatever. Pregame at the house, have a good time. What are you talking about?
It's not really specific.
Yeah, it's
at
just
all.
Like,
what do you mean?
Out. Okay,
like going. You okay, guys don't ever go out, like a Friday night in college or after college. You don't pregame a night out.
Well, it's just a little. It's just a little.
What do you mean going out to bars?
That's all.
That's literally what the pregame was invented for.
Okay.
You go to someone's house.
But there's a difference between whatever.
What? What would you like me to? You want me to specify?
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Okay. Going out to the bars with your friends. You pregame beforehand.
Okay. Just a little uninspired, that's all.
I think that's a perfect one. Don't try to do that to me.
Sure. My first one will be the pregame. It's pregame in the pregame.
That sucks.
Before you go out.
Okay.
That sucks. If we're going out where?
Before you go out to the bar.
Oh, okay. This is a very contentious.
That's a really good one, Hank. I like that.
Yeah,
thank
you. Very contentious.
Pregame in the pregame.
Yeah, you got to have a couple beers, a couple shower beers before, you know,
okay.
If you're going out,
okay.
You got to get ready.
Yeah.
All right.
Pregame
so,
the pregame.
So I'm going to come back with two at you. A concert. No-brainer.
Okay.
Got a pregame a concert. Does that count as tailgate? Can you tailgate a concert?
Yeah, you can. I mean, a summer concert, you for sure can tailgate.
Yeah, okay. So pregame a concert's number one. The second one is a beach day.
Okay.
Have a little cocktail before you leave the house. While you're packing up the cooler,
okay.
Drink one of the cold beers. Then you get to the beach. You got a nice little tasty buzz going already before you lay your blanket down. It's the rest of the day is just smooth sailing.
Okay.
My number two, I will go with a wedding. So
okay,
sometimes you're pregaming for good times. Sometimes you're pregaming just because you don't want to deal with, you know, annoying family members or whatnot. You got to have a couple beers, make the whole day tolerable.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
Okay, that's a good one, Hank.
Thank you.
Wait, what kind of wedding are we talking about?
Yeah, what kind of
here?
Wedding? Is
a
it
red
a gay wedding?
Wedding?
Is it a straight wedding? Is it a
well,
eloping?
I specified. I said sometimes you're going.
An Indian wedding?
Sometimes you're going because it's going to be a fun time because it's friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to pregame because it's family and you don't want to deal with family.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty specific. And I think you're coming at me for not being specific.
No, I'm not.
Just because I called you out for not being specific.
I'm not at all. Okay. How about pregame on St. Patrick's Day? That's one of my favorite pregames ever.
Before you go out to a bar?
Yeah, another bar.
Okay.
And how about, I didn't pick this Mount Rushmore. Hank fucking loved this Mount Rushmore. So
you asked me to tweet it, and I tweeted it, and that was the top response. So
no, it wasn't.
Thank
all right.
You to the listeners. No, it wasn't.
Pregaming a softball game. That is also a very fun time. Get a little, get your little swing juice going. Get your swing nice and loose. Well, my other one was going to be pre-gaming family functions, but Hank then just did a wedding at where all his family's going to be at.
I mean, family functions is wide open, but I'm with Hank on that one. Wedding, wedding is a good choice.
All right, go ahead, Hank.
You just blamed me because I said wedding.
Yeah, but then you said wedding, but like then you like
because you asked me to be more specific.
There are not many weddings that you go to that you're like family's at. There's a lot of weddings you go to that your family's not at.
You're actually old as fuck, and so you've dealt with more friends' weddings. Yeah. I've been to more family weddings.
Okay, well that's not relatable.
No, it is. I promise you that
it's not. Promise you it is.
Most of our listeners have
promise you it's not.
All right, for my number three, I will go with the last day of high school.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's solid.
Yep.
Did you not do graduating college because you didn't graduate college?
I didn't graduate college, no.
Actually, I
had to say that. Come on.
You could even say, like, the last month of high school.
Yes.
Just, like, not caring.
Every day before.
Drunk. Yeah.
Knowing that you have college coming up and just being like, okay, mine's good.
What did you get your degree in college?
It doesn't matter because I'm a podcaster.
Waste of money. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I got my degree in real life.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. This is a contentious Mount Rushmore.
I went to the School of Hard Knocks, buddy. Okay, mine's kind of similar to Hank's. For my third one, I'm going to go prom.
Okay.
Just prom.
That's
sketchy.
Good.
That's sketchy business, though.
Yeah, you can't get too drunk. You get kicked out.
That's why it's so fun. You got to walk that tightrope. You gotta. You're
make sure you're not drinking any gin or vodka that can smell on your breath.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it's usually a mix of like gin, vodka, rum, and
just
tequila.
A little bit from every single one of your dad's bottles.
Yes, all in one like plastic Poland Springs water bottle. So my last one, I was going to say podcast, but we don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
I don't do that anymore. So I'm going to go with going fishing.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, a little day on the lake.
But see, would you actually drink before you go on? I feel like that's just doing it when you get on there.
No,
like,
you
know, like, I got to drink before I go fishing.
Yeah, you have a couple.
You drink while you're fishing.
No, you have a couple beers before you go out there, before you hit the water, for sure.
Okay.
My last one, a lot of mine have been taken up. I will go with the office Christmas party.
Okay.
So, you know, the day's unwinding. Whenever you have like office events, you have a couple beers in the office before you actually have to go to the place where the event is happening.
You can feel the buzz in the office, like everyone's about to have a good time. By the way, we're going to go to extra innings in the All-Star game. There's just a two-run homer.
Well, that sucks for my bet.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so where's Bud Selig when you need him? Scooter Jeanette, this has been the night of recurring guests. Two-run homer. All right, my last one is going to be an intervention. So, like, if it's your last time that you can drink, you probably want to drink before you do it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, you wouldn't know that the intervention was happening.
Well, no, if they're like, hey, we all want to talk to you, and there's cameras around and that music's playing, you're probably going to want to have a drink before you go.
Also, one thing that I like about intervention, when you agree to go to the rehab, you can get drunk before you go there.
Right.
It's just like the second...
Your diet on Sunday night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. It's like if you're going in for open heart surgery, might as well have a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. What missed the cut? I said a funeral, actually, not a bad one, because then if you cry, it's like I might be drunk.
Yeah. Floating a river.
Yep. Job interview.
Yeah.
Just one beer. No, just one beer before a job interview.
And you could also translate that to a date.
Yep.
First date.
Yep. First date. You got to do it. New Year's.
Before you have sex.
Yeah. So that you last like... Less. 15 seconds
longer,
instead of 10.
Yeah,
that's actually really smart. Just chug a little whiskey right before.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hank doesn't need to.
Oh, Hank, what else you got?
All mine got taken. I had country concert and the bar was actually on my list. So
you
took it from
me. So my first pick.
No, you just said going out.
Yeah, to the bars.
Well, you could have said the club and then I would have said
I don't go to clubs.
Would you have counted, so this was best things to pregame besides sports?
Yes.
Would you have counted like going to watch a game at a bar?
I feel like you wouldn't pregame that.
What about the NFL draft? That's not a sporting event.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a sporting event. I would absolutely pregame the NFL draft.
No, the reason why that doesn't work anymore is because they changed it. When it was all day Saturday, all day Sunday, I would put that as like number one on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
That was one of the sneaky best drinking days of the year, just being like, start drinking at 11 in the morning, watch draft all day.
Ooh, here's another good one. Your fantasy draft.
Yes, that actually is a good one. That's a good call. That's a very good call.
It's with the boys.
Yeah. So that way when you make a really bad pick, you can be like, well, I was drunk.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking losers.
That's why I tried to draft Chris Johnson again in the 12th round.
Yeah.
Okay, I have him on my team every year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to our interview. By the way, tweet us at Part of My Take what we missed. probably the most contentious Mount Rushmore we've ever done.
Yeah, that was
would you say
one.
So, Hank?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So
it,
far.
So far. All right, tweet us what we missed at Pardon My Take. We'll tweet that out. We're going to get to our interview with Christian Yelich.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, here he is, Milwaukee Brewer and first-time All-Star Christian Yelich.
And home run hitter.
And home run hitter.
In the All-Star game.
Yes.
All right, we now welcome on first-time All-Star Christian Yelich from the Milwaukee Brewers. It's actually been a long time coming because you've been on KFC Radio a couple times. We've gone back and forth, especially now that you're on the Brewers. We are doing rogue journalism, so if you hear a little music in the background, it's because we're in his hotel lobby. Christian, thank you for coming on. How excited are you to be? I'll start with a softball because, like you just told us, you usually swing and miss on your first BP. How excited are you to be an All-Star for the first time?
Really excited. It's one of those things that you never really think about actually doing. I remember getting drafted. I've only been to one All-Star game before as like a fan. 2010, I got drafted, and it was in Anaheim. That's kind of where I'm from, so I decided to go to the All-Star game. And your goal is just like to make it to the big leagues and just try and get there. And then All-Star game was like a whole another level that you really weren't even thinking about or could comprehend. And to be there and to be a part of this is pretty special. And got a lot of good friends going for the first time as well. So to get to share it with them is extra special.
It's kind of cool for your first time, but I'm just letting you know, like, next year and the year after that, you're going to be like, God damn it, I get one break a year, and I have to go travel and play in another baseball game. So enjoy this while you can, because you're young and naive, but you're going to get grizzled pretty
soon. And also, you are sitting in a hotel lobby with us.
Yeah.
So you're probably like, I'd rather not, like, make any more All-Star games.
No, I was going to say, this is probably, like, the big draw.
Yeah, true.
After the party.
True. So do you think you're going to get hazed?
Nah.
You sure?
Pretty
well,
sure.
Bud Norris pretty isn't sure. part of the All-Star, so you'll probably be okay that
so
way.
So I'll be all right.
Yeah. Are you, like, a little nervous, though, walking into the locker room for the first time, being like, uh-oh, like, where do I sit? What do I do?
Not really, because you know a lot of these guys just through playing against them throughout the league. And I got to play with a lot of these guys in the WBC last year. And you get to meet them throughout the league, so everyone's pretty familiar with each other. You've had run-ins over the course of the season, so for the most part, you know everybody, and it's cool to just catch up and see them.
I imagine it's like the scene in Hoosiers when they go into the big gym and they measure it to 10 feet. They're like, rims are still the same. You see Marlins man sitting front row, you're like, there it is. Like,
that's
I feel
your,
at home.
That's your boy.
Yeah, that's your boy.
No, that's your guy.
No, originally your guy.
Yeah. So were
originally,
you? What was your relationship with Marlins man? Or what was the Marlins from a former Marlin? What was the Marlins organization relationship with Marlins man?
We'd see him at some golf tournament. Like, we'd have this golf tournament every year at the beginning of spring training. It was the Jack McKeon Golf Classic.
He sponsored every hole.
Yeah, so he would sponsor, and he had his orange car, the Marlins mobile,
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
it was called, and
the troop mobile.
Yeah, yeah, and he'd be out there all the time. He had this hole, and people would like stop by and take pictures. He's like a lawyer. He's
yeah.
a lawyer at
yeah,
this
yeah.
big law firm or something like that, which. I didn't really know until he got talking to him, but he's an interesting guy for sure. Yeah, he'll
yeah.
let you know.
Yeah, yeah. So would you consider yourself friends with Marlins?
Or best friends?
Acquaintances.
Okay.
Because
I think
we've
he's
had a few run-ins.
Okay.
Really?
Got it.
You've had a few.
No,
couple,
like, no
couple
bad.
Couple
I just, like, no, just met, just, I've met him a few, three or four times.
Yeah.
Was there any additional pressure going up to bat knowing that Marlins man was watching you?
I mean, he probably wasn't watching. He was probably on Twitter.
That's a good point. You know? That's a good point.
So you're here in your first All-Star game. I'm always interested to know, like, for these types of games, at what point does the manager, like, sit down and talk to you guys like it's an actual game going into it? Or does he just, like, post the lineup and he's like, here's what I'm planning on doing. Like, you're only going to get one at-bat. You're going to get one at-bat. How does that go?
My first one, so we'll see. But yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, start. I'll probably only get one at-bat the most. Maybe not even one because mm-hmm. I'm one of the reserve guys. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I'm just excited for the experience and just being a part of it. And you know, being able to say you were in an all-star game and
yeah.
took part of all the festivities, because you never know how many you're going to get. You know, this might be the only time I get to do it. Hopefully not, but just trying to enjoy the 2 days and get the most out of them.
Do you want to win?
Yeah, it'd be cool to win for sure. I mean, I know it doesn't have any impact on the World Series anymore, or
right.
which I think it's right though.
No.
No, you don't think it's right?
No. Well, from
it's
a fan's perspective,
it's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. I know it was the dumbest way to decide home field advantage, but I loved it because it just meant something.
It makes the All-Star game a little more special.
Right.
But as a team, like, I mean, when the Cubs, they should have been playing game seven in Wrigley instead of in Cleveland. So I feel like as a player, and then if your team makes it to the World Series, you're going to be like, hey, we won 100-something games this year. The other team won 90-something. Like, we should be playing this deciding game.
But I kind of loved it because it pissed everyone off, too. Everyone's like, why the hell is this, you know, stupid game?
They should just take, they should take the losing team's game check and then give it to the winning team.
Mm.
Did you get paid for this game?
I don't know.
You're doing this pro bono?
You should make sure. You should see.
Don't play for free.
Yeah. Why don't we take care of it? You give us the number of the guy, and then if whatever
I
we get.
I saw you take care of things.
Yeah, I do.
You helped Dan Heron out yesterday.
I did.
I saw
just
that.
My presence
Dan,
online.
Dan the man.
You give us your bank account number and routing information. We'll make sure that your deposit gets in there for you.
Perfect.
How many years were you on the same team with Dan?
Just one.
Was he? What was he like in the clubhouse? Was he quiet?
Awesome.
Yeah.
He was quiet, but not really. Like, he'd really dry sense, like, you know.
Yeah.
The way he is on Twitter and in person is the way he was in the clubhouse. And
did you ever?
I love them.
You ever see him like smashing Imodium before he starts because he was afraid to have shits?
Oh yeah, all that stuff's true.
Yeah.
Like when he went on that tweet rampage about how his everything from his career, like that's all true. 100%. You're like,
he's. I mean, he's
Dan. That is Dan Heron, right?
Yeah.
That's why everybody loved him. And he was a gamer, though. You know, he was taking 85 out there every day. Like, he was posting every single day, which that's all you can you can respect that, and he was awesome.
Yeah.
Do you still get nervous before games?
Sometimes. It depends. Mostly before. And then once it starts, you're always fine. But sometimes, there's some games that, you know, you kind of get up for. You get the little nerves.
If it's national TV, if A-Rod's in the building, is that, like, a little extra?
Not really. I feel like most of the time, like every opening day, obviously, but I feel like that's not really unusual just because you have all the pageantry and everything going on, especially this year as like a new team, first game with the new team and all that. But for the most part, you get used to it at the end of the day.
Do you ever wake up and be like, today's the day I'm just never going to be able to hit again? I feel like I'd do that all the time if I was a baseball player.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like right now, like literally a week ago, you're like, I don't know.
Is that it?
I might never get another hit again. I might go.
How do you fight that? Like, how do you mentally get over that?
Slump buster, dude.
Yeah.
Heard of it?
It's experience, I think. Once you've felt like that and then you've come out of it before, you're like, all right, I've done this before. But the first time you do it, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
That's a wrap. It's over.
Is there, like, something specific? I mean, it is so mental that I'm sure that you have to, like, try to figure out, like, do you just go to the cage more? Do you change up something in your swing? Do you go to the cage less?
Well, what happened, like, you got to just convince yourself that it's going to change. It's going to turn around, like, the next one, like, the next one's where it breaks. And usually what happens is it's one swing or you're standing on deck or something, and you're like, oh, this feels good. It's back.
Right.
That's how it happens, but that's also how it goes.
Right.
Like, you don't know when it comes and when it just literally.
The way you just described it, I think I'd be a great baseball player because that's my gambling. Like, I lose a million in a row, and I'm like, the next one's a lock.
Yeah.
The next one is definitely going to hit.
Yeah. That's true.
And then it's not, and then you're like, oh, the
next one.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Do you have any weird superstitions?
I don't, actually. No. It's just
that's kind of a superstition, that you don't believe in them.
Yeah, I do believe in them, but I don't really have one just because there's so many games in baseball that I don't think I could repeat it 162 times. Like, there's just too much.
What's the weirdest one on your team? Who has the weirdest one?
None that I know of. I mean,
okay,
which is weird because I feel like baseball players are pretty superstitious.
Yeah.
Still getting. I don't. Maybe guys do them and they just don't talk about them.
Yeah,
that's their superstition.
But
none that I know of. I don't really have any. I'm pretty laid back as it is. Like, it's just. It's either going to happen or it's not.
Right.
We're about to find out kind of deal.
Yeah.
My favorite one was Wade Boggs eating chicken every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had five rotating dishes of chicken he would do
And he would just like switch them up, switch them up, switch them up, switch them up, switch them up. Dude, what's your pregame meal situation?
Oh, I was going to say my favorite one was the Kevin Millar story when he told us that Pedro Martinez put his dick on everyone's shoulder.
Yeah, that's
that's probably the number one. Yeah.
Really? Yes. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, yeah. Last player to put their dick on your shoulder.
Next one will be the first one.
Yeah, so what do you eat before every game?
Just whatever's out there. I don't have like this standard pregame meal. It's switched up all the time, whatever they got in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, I want to congratulate you on your engagement to Ariana Grande.
I appreciate that.
Have you seen an uptick in like Christian Yelich is kind of a hot name now that Pete Davidson is getting in the news more?
No, but I get that question all the time. Like, every time we play, I get the congrats on Ariana type deal. Someone's yelling it a couple times a day out there.
Yeah, we're going to cut that part out so it makes my question sound more original.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing that.
All right, let's talk about your current team. Will the Brewers be buyers or sellers at the deadline? Because you guys stink.
We didn't finish the second. We didn't finish the second half great.
Or the first half.
The first half. Great by any means, but
six in a row.
Yes. Oof. seven of eight, six in a row. It was just tough. I mean, it happens. Every team goes through it at some point. We just picked the end of the first half, which wasn't ideal, but you know, it happens. Yesterday was a tough one. I feel like if we win that one, it's a little bit better. You kind of go in with some momentum. It's not as bad. But hey, what are you gonna? You know, the break came at a perfect time for us.
Yeah,
say that.
Yeah. At what point in a losing streak do you get like the impassioned, like you know, veteran talk or the coach getting up in front of someone? Like, what point is like, all right, we got to fix this? Is it like 3, 4, 5 games?
Right around there, probably 5. I mean, yesterday, if it wasn't the break,
right?
You know, maybe somewhere around there. That's a tough one. Just the way it all unfolded, but we got a lot of guys. I mean, we got a lot of guys that have been around and realize what happens. Council's great manager. That's not really his style to get up and start throwing stuff around. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to change. Everybody knows we got to change it. We haven't been playing well, so we'd be fine. We're going to be fine after these 4 days. But yeah, obviously it's not ideal to end the first half like that, especially for how well we played through the first couple months of the season to go out like that isn't great. But.
Is it weird playing in Miller Park when you play the Cubs and it's 90% Cubs fans?
I wouldn't say it's 90, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's
you're
a
like
lot.
95. I don't know.
It's a lot of Cubs fans, but I enjoy the atmosphere. It's a cool rivalry and a cool game. It's the first time I've been a part of it and didn't realize how passionate the two fan bases really are about that game and how much it means to the fans, really, and it's a great environment. And you talk about just the intensity. It feels every pitch matters in those games.
Mm-hmm.
For both teams, really. Yeah, you know, one guy gets on, it feels like it's a rally coming up, and we've actually played each other pretty tight this year.
Yeah,
I think the Cubs obviously have won more games, but neither one of the teams has really blown each other out in any of those. They've been 2-1, 1-0 games,
right?
The whole time. So really, the whole game is intense, and you know that coming into the series that every single one of these games is going to be hard fought, and whatever team executes, makes the least amount of mistakes, it's going to win. So it's really, really intense.
Before you joined the team, did you realize that the logo for the Brewers was an M and a B with a glove and the ball?
I didn't until I got there. The like first or second day, somebody said something about it. It's pretty cool. It's one of the cooler logos,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Absolutely.
That blew my mind.
Absolutely. So your trade to the Brewers from the Marlins, how many times did you sit with Derek Jeter, or did you not sit with him?
I didn't. I never talked.
Once.
Not one conversation.
Wow.
No talks.
Wow.
Did he ever say hi to you?
I've never. The only time I've met him, we played against each other in 2014, mm-hmm. and he signed a jersey for me, actually, in Panama, which was pretty cool. He's my favorite player growing up.
Whoa.
That's where the Marlins are actually located now.
Wait, he was your favorite player, and then he becomes owner, and he just doesn't even...
Yeah, I mean, he didn't owe me anything, but yeah, we never...
You'd think that the owner would, or one of the owners would come and talk to the team at some point.
Yeah, we never really talked. They sold it at the end of the year, and then we all kind of went our own ways in the off season, and... Obviously, everything unfolded, but yeah, we never had any conversations really.
Yeah, so obviously, you guys went through like a tragic thing last year with the Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
How much did that change just the entire organization and, you know, going forward? Because I feel like then, obviously, the ownership changed, and then they trade a ton of guys, so everything kind of spiraled off of that.
It changed. It changed everything. I'd still be there. Stanton would still be there. Like, we'd all still be there this year if that didn't happen. This would have been his last year before free agency, so we would have been gearing up, making a playoff push, and we had a ton of talent on those teams, but... when something like that happens in a small market organization and you can't replace it, and it set everything back years, you know, it changed everything. And it's something that, you know, nobody can foresee that happening in the organization, on the team, nothing. So once that happened, we all realized like a few days after, like, this is going to change everything for everybody, and everybody's kind of path is going to be different. We tried to make it work last year and patch it together and see what we could do, but it's just such a big loss. Like, not only just personally, as just losing a friend, that's terrible, but, you know, organizationally and for the fan base and for the team, it was just too much to recover from. Mm-hmm. And I think it just set all the events into motion a little bit earlier than maybe it would have happened.
Yeah.
So you know, that's kind of what we all talked about when we got traded and we went different places, was just like, look, this, you know, isn't anybody's fault in the organization or anything like that. It's just one of those really unfortunate things. And then, you know, the team has to do what it has to do. It's a business at the end of the day for them and for us. And, you know, when something like that happens and you go your separate ways, there's no hard feelings or any animosity, because it's like, look, we all went through that together there. It was a really tough time. Just being in that clubhouse, being in that team, like, everybody who was there knows what that was like. And I feel like nobody left on bad terms.
Right.
You know, when I got the call that I was traded and everything leading up to it, it was never just like a long, drawn-out fight, really, you know, a lot of animosity there. It wasn't like that at all. And, you know, I talked to Donnie about it and our GM at the time when I got the call. They're like, look, this, you know, this all happened because of all the events that happened leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you came back after getting that news, you know, some guys say they like getting back on the field and, like, helps them move on, helps them heal, helps them, like, gel together. Other people just, you know, they have trouble getting back in that focus because it's such a big thing that happened. For you, which one of those was it?
It was really surreal, honestly, because you see everybody, like, baseball, we spend so much time with each other. We spend more time with each other than we do our own families during the course of the season, because we have 10, 11 hour days at the stadium if we're not traveling. So then you're traveling, you go to dinner together, you're hanging out on the road, hanging out at home. We all came up together. We came up through the minor leagues together for the last couple levels. So everybody sees each other every night leaving the clubhouse. You're like, all right, man, like, you know, see you in the morning, see you tomorrow. And then you wake up to that news and that phone call and you're like, man, this, what? Like, what happened? We got a text saying game's canceled. Everybody get to the stadium as quick as you can. And so we have a dome, so it's not canceled.
Right.
It's not canceled because of weather. We were at home. It's a Sunday. It was actually like an Ichiro bat giveaway for his 3,000th hit, which, you know, everyone was like, why are they canceling this game? And then I actually saw it on Twitter. So, like, why are they canceling the game? And I had to wake up. I was living with JT at the time, and, you know, now his now wife was there. So I was like, I knew before he did, he was still sleeping. So I had to figure out a way to tell JT, like, we have to go to the stadium. But, you know, Jose died, but I didn't want to tell it to him and have his wife there, or his now wife there, and then be like, all right, like, see ya.
Right.
Which I didn't know they actually saw him that night. They were there.
Oh, jeez.
And I was going to go meet them, too, at the place, because he had some friends in town. So they're going to have some drinks at this cool spot in Miami that a lot of people went to. And I didn't know they were with him that night. So I went in and woke him up, which I never do. I was like, hey, dude, like, you know, get up. We got to go.
Right.
And usually I've lived with JT since we were 18. Like, we came into pro ball together, and usually he'd be like, what are you doing? Like, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay. I was like, what?
Jeez. You can kind of tell that.
Yeah, I was like, hey, dude, because if I was going to wake him up, like something bad happened. So he was like, okay. And then his now wife was kind of like, what's going on? And I guess she searched something on Twitter and then
she started crying.
I was like, oh, dude. We got to go. And I just remember those 2 days being like a movie. Like, you felt like you were watching yourself through a movie and all the stuff that happened. And, you know, you go to the field, and I remember just coming in the clubhouse. And in Miami, the clubhouse is like a circle, and all the lockers kind of face each other and all the chairs. And they made us all wait there until everybody got there. And then they kind of addressed the team. But it was like this, like you're just – kind of sitting here in shock, and no one was really crying at first. It was, everyone was just like silent and in shock kind of. And you know, they came in, talked to the team, basically told us what happened. We already knew at that point, but they told us what happened and what they're going to try and do, which I actually think they handled the whole thing really well.
Yeah.
As an organization, for there's not really a script for that, or what can happen, and no one plans for that, or there's no contingency for what you do when that happens. And we're with the family, and the next day, like coming to play the game the next day, we all did everything at the stadium that day. They had the press conference, and we went to his family's house after the press conference. We all took buses to their house. That's what they wanted. And I remember that being pretty brutal. Like,
yeah.
Just like, jeez, man, this really sucks. Like, his mom, his grandma, everybody there. And like this is horrible. And then we're like, we have to play the next day because we were playing the Mets and they were still in the playoff, you know, race. So like, we had to play. Like, MLB was like, gotta do this. So we were like, all right, like, how are we gonna play this game right now? And I remember it being, the whole day was just really, really weird because it was just not a normal day. You know, his locker's still there. Everything's in it the same the way you left it.
Right.
We all had Fernandez jerseys, and you go out to the stadium, like, to go play the game, and it's actually relatively full, you know, for a Marlins game, and it's dead silent in there. Like, nobody's talking, and as you guys run out on the line to run, to warm up before the game, and they start clapping, like, everyone starts clapping, and you just lost it at that point. Like, it was like, all right, I'm crying on a Major League Baseball field like right now. Like, everybody is, you know, Stan, D. Gordon, myself, like, all these guys that you never really would see cry ever in your life. Like, you never imagined that. It was like, guys are sobbing, and then D. Gordon hit a homer. And the funny thing about that is, during spring training that year, D. signed a ball for one of Jose's nephews or friends. And he was like, Jose was like, I love you, man. Like, I know you don't believe me right now, but I'm going to show you one day. Like, I love you. I'll show you. And then he did his stance, turned around, and hit a homer in the upper deck, which was.
I mean, that that moment was unreal.
It was like a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I was saying. Like, the 2 days were like a movie. They bring the hearse to the field the next day. And it's pouring rain. Like, it's pouring rain outside. We're all standing outside. The hearse pulls up, and it stops in front of the team, and the rain goes stop completely. And it was just nuts, man. It was a crazy few days. It's something that I'll never forget. But it makes you appreciate the game, and it makes you appreciate moments like this more because you realize like how fast it can all be gone.
It's good that you were, you know, around. You had all those teammates and all those close friends that were going through the same thing at the same time.
It definitely made it easier and better just to be around with those guys and to experience something like that. But yeah, it was definitely a crazy time.
That's an incredible moment.
I can see how something like that would kind of just, it would change everything for that franchise.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Everybody that experienced that, nobody's going to be the same afterwards.
And then you had Marlins band boycott the franchise. So
yeah.
Then it's like,
that was the real,
double tragedy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marlins band trying to make it about himself. do you still keep in touch with Giancarlo, and do you call him Mike? Which one do you
go? Yeah, I call him Mikey, actually.
Were you there when he made the switch?
Yeah, I wasn't on. I don't think I was in the big leagues yet, but I knew. We're kind of from the same area in L.A., so I've known him for a long time. I call him Mikey or G or never. I don't think I've called him Giancarlo one time. But, yeah, we still we still talk and keep in touch. We usually have sometimes have a little group chat with Ozuna, depending on
nice.
You know, the stuff that he does. Ozuna does something pretty funny every now and then, and we'll send it in there and get to talking. So.
Were you an intimidating California teenager? Because I have a big phobia for California teenagers.
No,
I'm assuming you were.
Really?
Yeah. Like you? No. Did you skateboard?
No, not really.
Okay.
You've got the hair, though.
Like, you were good at baseball really early. Yeah, and, like, you were just cooler than everyone. Did you notice that? Like,
no. I don't think I was intimidating at all.
That's intimidating.
Would you ever
right
see,
now?
Like, obvious tourists just, like, walking around town and be like, look at this narc, like, this cop from the Midwest?
Yeah. Sometimes. It depends where you go, though. Like, where I'm from is not really, like, a big touristy area. But if you go to, like, Santa Monica or you're down in Hollywood or something, obviously it's a big tourist place. So
when did
tell.
You smoke your first cigarette, like 8 or 9 years old?
I've actually never smoked a cigarette.
Yikes.
Which is like the after this.
I'll get you addicted to cigarettes.
Do people still bring up the video of you eating ass?
Every day. Nice. Literally, there's not a day that goes by since.
Did you see that video?
I haven't seen that one. No.
Yeah, it wasn't actually Christian Yelich. So we'll clear that up. I think it's been cleared up many times. But there is a porn video, and a guy looks exactly like him.
My twin,
eating ass. Maybe it was Pete Davidson.
That's maybe. He actually texted me after that and said, "Hey, I heard we got a sex tape."
Wait, he texted you? So you guys talk?
Yeah.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So because they came, he came out. To New York when we were playing the Mets a few years back, and they gave him one of my jerseys, and he came out and stretched with us, did this whole skit.
That's
He took batting practice and did shag, and so we kind of got to know each other then, and we've kept in touch a little bit. So that popped up, and he was like, hey.
You guys should have released, like, a joint statement.
Like, we didn't do this.
We both think it's not us.
Or just blaming the other guy.
Definitely.
How weird is that? Like, being like, hey, listen, as much as I want to be the guy eating ass on the internet, that wasn't me.
Well, I mean, for all the blowback and fallout that came from it, I might as well just
eat
on it. You know what I mean? At that point, I was like, well. But.
That's an all-time, man.
It's a unique experience, to say the least. It's something that you don't really think is ever going to happen. And
Did you have a moment where you're like, wait, was that me?
Yeah, at first when I was like, because the guy looked just like me, and I was like, there's no way. Like, it was like noon.
Like, I didn't eat that ass.
It was like noon, and I was like, nah, that's definitely, because the guy looked just like me. Like,
oh, man.
Like a twin, basically, and I was like, nah, that's not me,
right? Let's get this.
And I texted it to our PR guy at the with the Marlins, because it was starting to blow up at the time. I was like, "Hey, dude, like, here's this video. It's a pretty big deal now. Like, I don't really know how you want to attack this or what angle you want to go with." And the only thing he texted me back was, "Are you sure it's not you?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure it's not me." But we were in Philly at the time, and when I realized it wasn't going to be that bad, it was like, Philly fans are kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And they're like, we love you, dude. Like,
Philly fans eat gas station.
Yeah.
They have no problem with that.
Like, you can be Pat Burrell if you come here. Like,
that's
true. My favorite player. Yeah.
That's true. Like, it's the Philly World Series and then Pat Burrell's ability to bed women. Now, those are like the two biggest accomplishments in Philly's history.
So now every single night, somebody brings it up, especially if we're on the road. Like, somebody will say something, or I'll get a tweet or two about it, which now it's just funny. Like, I think it's funny.
Right.
Some girl brought a sign last year that said that. And
it's okay. She's watching
it. It's in New York, so it's pretty well known.
Yeah.
It's known around, like, the league, too. Like, guys around the league
know you eat ass. It. Yeah.
That's good, it's kind of like a it's a bad boy rep.
What are you going
to
do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's do a SeatGeek question. You put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off. You can go see Christian play in Miller Park. $10 off with promo code TAKE. The SeatGeek question, if you had to face Hader 100 at-bats, how many hits would you get?
Oh, I'm 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts right now, so we're not really
We're
not really on a great pace.
Yeah.
I feel like over 100, there's a couple that would sneak in there, but there wouldn't be a whole lot.
Would you ever lean into one and, like, take one off the elbow?
I mean, maybe after a few of those, you might just have to. It's hard to describe what it's like facing, especially as a left-handed hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's real across his body, and it's hard to pick it up, and where you think he's throwing it from, he's really not. And He just strikes out everybody.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what he's doing. I mean, he almost has 100 strikeouts and we're at the All-Star break right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's unreal.
And he's out of the bullpen. He's got like 45 innings or something like that. And he's an awesome guy, too. Like, he's just everyone's brother. Hey, brother, how's it going? Just like that. And then he just runs out of the bullpen and punches tickets. And then he's like, all right.
All right, last question for me. Have you ever had a run-in with Joe West?
Nothing,
I already did the SeatGeek.
Nothing bad, actually. Joe's one of those umpires where if you show, like as a young, if, when you're a rookie and you're coming up in the league and you don't disrespect him or he's an old school umpire. So
yeah.
Kiss the ring a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you do something, like if he's
tickle the gullet.
If he punches you out on a borderline pitch and you're a rookie and you turn back and you start yelling at him.
You.
That's a wrap for you for the rest of that day and probably for the next few years.
Elephants and Joe West, don't forget.
Yeah.
But if he does that and you don't say anything and you treat him
he's breaking you in.
Because I remember I've had a time where that's happened where it was my first year or so in the league, but I didn't say anything. I just
okay.
All right.
Cool.
I see how this is. So I was like, all right, just kind of walked away. And me and Joe have been like really we've always been on really good terms. And
are there some umps that you're not? You don't have to name names, but like some umps that you know you've had a couple run-ins.
Probably a few. Where
have you been tossed?
Yeah, once last year against the Cardinals
for what
balls and strikes. But I was trying.
You were ready to hit the showers.
We were just getting it handed to us last year in May with the Marlins, and we were playing the Cardinals actually, and Wainwright curveball, backdoor, Yachty like stuck it, I was like really, dude, like this is how it's gonna go, and it's in Marlins Park actually, and the videos on YouTube that you can hear the whole conversation is a lot of not so great words being said, which I think I'm gonna get tossed right there. I'm like, all right, I'm for sure getting thrown out right here, and he wouldn't throw me out, so I was like trying like. All the magic tricks, basically, where if you do this, like, usually it's automatic ejection.
Right.
Wouldn't do it. And I was like, what do I do now? And I was like, I got to go at this point.
Yeah, spit on his face.
So I was yelling at him. We were cussing at each other. I pointed to where it was, and I was like, ah, that'll do it. Nothing. I was like, what do I do now? Kicked where I thought it was as I was walking. I was like, this will do it. Nothing still. And I was like, what do I do? And then I got back to the dugout. I got it all the way back into the dugout. Still nothing. I was like, oh.
You got to throw a bat onto like, the field.
I should have been gone 5 minutes ago because this was going on for a while. And you better stop. Still nothing. Didn't stop. Turned around in the dugout, yelled, and that's what finally got me thrown out.
Okay.
And then Donnie got thrown out like 30 seconds later. And this was the bottom of the first. This is the second batter of the bottom of the
Holy
first.
Holy shit. So wait, what? I'm always curious. We'll wrap up on this. When you go in, when your manager gets tossed and you get tossed, you guys sit together?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he went and checked. Donnie went and checked in the video room to see if it was a ball or strike.
Yeah.
This whole time. Just like, please, God, don't be wrong. Be a ball.
Yeah.
Be a ball.
And then you just sit there and watch the rest of the game and just be like, fuck
Donnie
that guy.
It was like Donnie goes, oh, shit. As soon as he looks at it, he's like, you kidding me? And I was like,
It was a strike?
No, it was a ball.
Oh, it was a ball.
It was fairly bad one, too. So I was like, I felt a little better
about
it.
Yeah, you were vindicated.
I felt a little better about it. And then I watched the game with Donnie in his office, and we ended up blowing like a 5-run lead in the eighth. And that's like not a good place to be with you. It's not a good place to be with your manager.
So awkward.
At the time the lead's getting blown, and I was just sitting there like, oh, man. Because after you get thrown out, you just go in the clubhouse, and it's completely – nobody's in there, obviously. And
it's
mine
empty.
Was in the first inning. So by the time you cool off from everything you did, you're kind of sitting there like, what'd you do that for? Like, now you got to sit here for, 3 hours and the game's going on. You should probably still be out there, grinding with the boys. But you got tossed, and I was like, So that was the only time I've been ejected. And I actually talked to the umpire the next day where I was like, hey, dude, like, you gave me, like, 7 chances to stay in that game, and I just wasn't having it. Like, I just needed to go. And he was like, no, it's all good, man. Like, it's part of it happens. It was a ball, and all right, cool. So we were actually pretty good terms, the guy who threw me out.
Yeah.
But it's funny how that spreads through the league because I had umpires coming up to me for, like, the next couple months be like, what are you doing getting thrown out? And I was like, well, I always kind of wanted to be thrown out of a major. Like, it's kind of like a bucket list
deal.
Like, you got to get thrown out at least.
Got to.
One time. And that was my time. You get like a letter from MLB and it has like quotes like what you did and what you said to get thrown out.
That's great. Yeah. Frame it. Yeah.
And it was like $500. So it was like.
That's worth it.
Yeah, that's definitely worth it. So I got the letter still, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, all the umpires are cool for the most part.
I think the reason why it was so hard for you to get thrown out was because you did let Joe West punch you out. And he didn't say anything. Because Joe West is like.
You respect the umps guy.
He's the chatterbox of the group. So he lets people know, hey, this kid, Pete Davidson, he's a good shit. You know?
Yeah, and Joe might not even know. Like, he might just, but that's what I think.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think I'm like, hey, I didn't say anything, so like, you know,
we're
good cool. To this kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
all right, well, Christian, thank you so much, man. Congrats on the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Good luck being sellers at the deadline. I appreciate you doing this, and maybe next year be in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, we'll see. That'd be pretty awesome.
If you win the Home Run Derby,
what would you do?
I guess we'd have to eat crow. What do we want to eat?
Well,
someone
eat a crow's ass.
Someone already did.
How about that?
Well, we'll eat each other's ass.
I'll go down on a crow.
If you win the Home Run Derby, I'll eat each other's ass.
I'm going to lick a crow's butthole. That's what I'll do. I'll one up the guy.
You're never going to win a Home Run Derby. I'm fine with that. I'll just kill myself if you do. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I always have an out.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
The interview is also brought to you by Peloton. Do you want the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own living room? Well, don't let a busy schedule keep you from getting a great workout in. Lose the commute to the gym. Let the workouts come to you. I've got a Peloton in my house. It doesn't take up much space at all. It's in the corner. It is a sweet, sweet machine. I get a great workout on it. It's a cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings live studio classes right to your home. No worrying about fitting classes into that busy schedule or making it to a studio. You ride live with the entire Peloton community that's spread across the whole country right in your living room. Up to 14 new classes are added every day with over 8,000 on demand. There's a variety of workouts to choose from. You can do a 45-minute class. You can do a 20-minute burn, hip-hop, rock and roll, low impact, or high intensity. You pick the structure and style that works for you. You get classes led by elite New York City instructors in your own living room. You live stream studio classes taught by the world's best instructors, or you can find your favorite class on demand, and you get real-time metrics. You can figure out what the resistance level's at. You can see how fast you're going, what your heart rate is. It's got a 22-inch HD touchscreen. It's almost completely silent. The belt drive on there is so sweet. You can't even hear it. It's got a compact 2x4 footprint. Like I said, it can fit in your living room or even in your office. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings a studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. You go to onepeloton.com, enter the promo code PMT at checkout, and get $100 off accessories with your bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to onepeloton.com, use code PMT, and get started.
All right, let's get to some segments. Before we do that, we got breaking news. Breaking moves, all-star closer for the Milwaukee Brewers, Josh Hader. Some very problematic tweets.
Uh-oh.
That have been coming out during the all-star game.
Uh-oh.
Not good.
What are we talking about?
Well, some N-words. Not very not good.
Also, the R's or A's?
The R's.
Hard R's?
Yeah. And
all right, well, if you owns...
And then the R word as well. The only one I can read... he tweeted, "Suck my cock, I'll murder your family."
Oh my God! That
someone?
So, yeah, no, just out to
just
the world.
Out there.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Well,
I say we take away his pizza franchises.
Yeah.
If he owns any pizza restaurants, no more, buddy.
That's gotta. I mean,
well, good news. That means that Papa John's not racist anymore, right?
Yeah, true. The next one, next man up.
There's a one in, one out policy that we have here. So, yeah.
It's always weird watching, like, a walking dead man. Like, you're watching Josh Hader on your TV right now.
He doesn't know.
And you're like, he has no idea that the internet has found some very, very problematic
Josh Hader
from him. So, his name is Josh. His Twitter name is Josh Haterade. So, I guess you get a bonus point for that. That's kind of cool. But everything else, not so good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The internet's having one right now. And I think it's because he gave up that home run.
Yeah, so. This has been a bad night for
Josh Hader. All right, and we also have the AL is now up 7-5. We're just going to live. So if you missed the All-Star game, if you went to sleep early, good news is you can listen to Part of My Take, and we'll just tell you what happens as it happens. All right, let's go to some segments. First up, we have Bachelor Talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor. Hank, take us away.
Had her bouncing on my dick like a seesaw.
Ooh.
That's another Hater
Is that Bachelor Talk? Oh. That's all that.
That's another Josh, yeah.
That one's
good
just,
for him.
Yeah, yeah, seesaws are fun.
Need a bitch that can fuck, cook, clean, right.
Mm.
Josh.
Right.
Clean, that's, right.
Oh, clean, right, or right, like as in
clean,
W-R. Right.
Clean, no, R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was looking for like a novelist.
Yeah, that would be very progressive of him.
yes.
But this one probably not so much. Oh, here's one that is, this one's probably taken out of context.
Okay.
I hate gay people.
Oh,
that's it. That's the entire tweet.
Well, yeah.
So
you don't know
who knows.
He's happy, dude.
Who knows what he meant by that?
Maybe he's having a down month.
Let's not judge.
Yeah.
Jesus, Josh.
Yeah, not good. And that's not even his real problematic. You'd read the ones you could read.
Yeah.
All right, Hank, give it to us.
All right, it was hometown week. Blake took Becca to his old school in Colorado, where he revealed that there was a school shooting, and it taught him to cherish life.
Wait, so you went to Columbine?
That's pretty
heavy.
Pretty romantic.
Pretty heavy for a date.
Yeah.
All right.
Why does he have to politicize this?
Yeah, so now's not the time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Jason took Becca to Buffalo.
Yes.
And they played hockey there.
Hell yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's a winner right there. So he's up one right now. And
well,
what else?
Also, this is kind of a big miss. If you're going to take your date to Buffalo and not throw her through a table,
yeah,
you might as well not go to Buffalo.
Well, just – and there's nothing like eating way too many buffalo wings sex.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Just a beef on weck for her,
yeah,
for the lady, and 3 dozen 911 wings.
Do you think he was like, hey, why don't we just go in the back of my pickup truck and you can give me a blowjob while I wear my Zubas?
Or, hey, why don't we hang out in the Bills parking lot and I'll trade you my Kiko Alonso jersey for some head.
For a blowjob.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Colton took Becca home and she talked to his mom about being a virgin. And then Tia, who was on Ari's season with Becca, told Becca she still had feelings for Colton, so Becca sent Colton home.
That was Becca was smart to not send him home right away when he was like, I'm a virgin. She waited a week, but that was what happened.
I'm telling you, this virgin thing plays.
Yeah,
after the age of 25.
I think Tate just proved it the other way.
I think it absolutely plays. It's like women, just like the rest of us, love a conquest. They love a chase. And what better chase than like a 30-year-old guy that's like, I could have had sex, but I've never had sex.
Never done it. All right. Well, I guess that means that we're down to two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
the season's really flowing by. Yeah.
Is that what that means? Hometown week is the last three?
I think so. You just had, there's only three of them, so must be.
When do they do,
Who do you got? Who do you got?
I got the Buffalo guy.
Blake or Jason? Jason?
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, well, I would say Jason based on the Buffalo date, but I don't see how a guy named Blake can lose the Bachelor.
Especially after he went the emotional route, and that shit plays.
That just sounds
this is where the school shooting happened route. That's always plays.
If you name your kid Blake, you do so knowing for a fact that he will win at least one reality TV competition in his life.
Yeah, if this Blake wins it, we would like him on Pardon My Take, because we are the preeminent Blake podcast. All right, PR 101, Mike Trout. So this happened, this was a story today that Kenneth Faried, who formerly of the Denver Nuggets, now of the Brooklyn Nets. You didn't even realize he was traded, but he was. Has a higher Q rating, which is basically the rating of like how many people have like name recognition on you, than Mike Trout, the best player in all of baseball.
I don't want to get like too conspiracy theory on you guys here, but isn't it a little odd that your Q rating tells you how anonymous you are?
Hmm.
Hashtag QAnon.
Ooh. Don't go there.
Roseanne will tell you all about it.
Don't go there. This is like This is one of those things that it could totally be it's like an onion headline, but it also could very well be true because baseball, like this is the problem with baseball is that their best player is not that, like people probably, you walk down the street like Mike Trout, like, oh, who's that? Because he plays for the Angels and he doesn't have a personality.
Yeah, correct. He needs to move to a bigger market like Los Angeles maybe.
Yeah.
That might do
with
wonders
Bryce.
For him.
Yeah. Bryce and Mike Trout.
Well, he's already in Los Angeles.
I mean, in the Dodgers. Yes. No, but the Dodgers. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about Anaheim. Yeah, Anaheim's not Los Angeles. Yeah. They tried to change it.
You could always do something just like buy a shitload of billboards with your face on it.
Or challenge LeVar Ball to a one-on-one game.
There you go. That'd
that would
be
big.
Here's one thing I didn't realize about Mike Trout. I've never heard him talk before tonight.
Yes.
And so they had him mic'd up in the outfield.
And Joe Buck asked him about the weather.
Asked him about the weather. So, like, who says baseball has a problem with promoting the young players? His voice is, I'll put it this way, it's not what you'd expect from Mike Trout.
What does that mean?
I thought that he would be, like, you know, have a little country twang. He seems like a guy that's
a Philly guy
in
Jersey.
Yeah, but he seems like a guy that affects a country accent based on just, like, you know, going to baseball practice for 20 years.
Right.
He doesn't. It sounds more urban than I thought it would sound.
Okay.
He's got, like, a little Bruce Arians thing going on.
That's not a good thing that we just don't even know what Mike Trout sounds
like. I know. That's what I was shocked.
Like, this is Mike Trout. We should have Mike Trout on the show next week. And we'll just, talk to a random person on the street.
He should get a neck tattoo. Because have you seen how big his neck is?
Yeah.
Like, you could put a fucking mural. Oh, you should put, like, the LeBron James Welcome to L.A. mural on his neck.
Yes, and then people will finally be like, oh, Anaheim is also in the L.A. market.
And then he'll get swarmed by people trying to deface the mural on his neck.
Yes.
And so everybody will know what he looks like.
I like that. I like that. So Mike Trout, just do any of these things, and you'll just challenge LeVar Ball, honestly. Yeah. Like, that would be the easiest thing ever. Just be like, LeVar Ball, don't slander LeBron. Fight me. Play me one-on-one.
By the way, I think I'm kind of with Hank. We talked about this earlier, staying woke on the Q rating. I'm kind of thinking that the Q rating is a load of shit. Because there's no chance that this is actually true.
But
that his recognition is the same as Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, that's why.
It's literally, they went down a list of
Yes,
NBA
that's why
players,
it's the onion.
And they just picked. Yeah,
they picked the one name that was like just far enough down that you're like, I recognize that name, but there's no way this could be true, but maybe it is. Like, it's the perfect name to pick. Because if they said like John Wall or Bradley Beal or like, you know, like any, like pretty much like, or Damian Lillard, you'd be like, of course
he
is.
That makes sense.
But Kenneth Faried, it's like okay, Tony Snell's a little too far.
Yeah.
You know.
DeMar DeRozan. It was like DeMar DeRozan, then Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, like, okay, all right, let's go back. Yeah, we'll do Kenneth Faried. All right, we have Embrace the Bait. So this went viral on Monday night. There was a picture and a video of a guy who called the cops during a pickup game because he was fouled too hard. So the question is, Embrace the Bait, when is it okay to call the police during a pickup game?
I would say if somebody calls a charge against you, you can call the cops at that
Someone
point.
Tries to play zone defense.
Yeah, if they're playing zone and pickup,
you call the cops.
Absolutely.
This is such an outrageous story, but I kind of believe it because I've been in pickup games before where guys will be like, they'll get so upset that they'll leave the gym because they got fouled. So it's really just the next step is call the police.
Yeah, if the guy, there's always like one guy that brings his girlfriend in to just like, and forces her to watch him play basketball. If that happens, then that's technically kidnapping.
Yep.
So you should call the cops in that circumstance.
Yep.
If you're playing like an adult league kickball game and a guy's wearing cleats and soccer socks.
Yep.
I think you need to get
call
on
the cops.
That's pre-crime.
I saw the picture. Was the guy with the shooting sleeve the guy who got called the cops on?
Yes, that was he set a screen that was too hard.
Okay, well, actually, now I'm saying out loud, if you're wearing a camo shooting sleeve, you probably should have the cops called on you. So maybe if he had just said that instead of it was a foul, he probably would have, like, people would have been like, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Well, two things. Number one, that's also stolen valor, so that is a crime if you're wearing the camo shooting sleeve. Number two, if it's really good camouflage, you definitely don't see the guy coming, so it's a blindside check every time.
True.
He's like basically just wearing a Geely suit out there.
Also, shouldn't he have called the cops on his teammates for not calling out the screen?
Yeah.
That's actually the real crime.
Your teammate has to tell you whether or not you're going above the screen
As someone who plays, you know, pickup hoops and has terrible basketball skills, calling out screens is like the number one part of my game. It's just like always talking so people are like, oh, he's a good teammate even though he can't do anything offensively.
Hank, would you ever call the cops on somebody in pickup
Absolutely
basketball?
Absolutely not.
For nothing? What if they Euro-stepped?
Nope.
Ooh. What if I dunked on you? What if I learned how to dunk and dunked on you?
All in the game.
Ball sack in your mouth.
Fair game.
What if they insisted on playing by twos and threes?
I played by twos and threes sometimes. It's actually kind of fun, yeah.
I liked ones and twos.
Yeah. I played on Saturday once.
Because you're on the outside threat. When you're an outside threat like me.
No, well, if you took the time to break down the scoring, playing by ones and twos is actually way more advantageous if you're a good outside shooter.
Yeah.
Because they're worth twice as much.
It's double.
Okay, sorry, I'm not a nerd.
I played it's analytics.
Last weekend, I played ones and twos.
Hide your girl.
I showed up, and the guys were playing ones and twos to 16.
Fuck.
Very, very, yeah. I didn't ask. I was like, well, okay, I guess that's the rule.
I would call the cops on the game that was being played ahead of me if they were playing ones and twos to 16.
To 16. I was like, and then once we won a game, we're like, all right, now we're going to actually play to a real number of 15.
Uh-huh. I would say also if a terrorist attack is being plotted during the game, then you can call the cops.
Okay, that's fair.
Then you can narc.
Yeah, see something, say something.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you got to do. All right, let's get to Guys on Chicks, wrap it up. Before we get to Guys on Chicks, by the way, shout out to the award-winning listener we saw at the bar tonight who told us that her fiancé was at the All-Star game because he said it was the most important game of the year. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh,
well,
he's probably cheating on you.
That was a lie that he told
us. Oh, that good credit to that guy for coming up with the All-Star game is the most important game.
Babe,
of the year,
I really got to go.
that was one of those ones said it out loud and she like had a face. She's like, oh.
Baby, if I don't go to the All-Star game, I'm going to be lost for the entire second half of the season. I'm not going to know what's going
on. Yeah, no chance. But she did buy us shots of JMO. So shout out to her.
Well, we got another home run.
Joey Votto, 8-6
now. 8-6. Now, we need this score to hold up because I took the American League.
I took the
over. 1.5.
I should get double points because the over's, it's now 14. The over was 7.
That's how it works.
Yep. All right, Hank, let's do it.
I've been saving up for a boob job, and my boyfriend offered me money from his medical school loan to pay for the last few thousand. Should I take it?
I'm not exactly sure how fraud works, but if you get a loan to go to college and use it to pay for your girlfriend's boob job, I think that's
fine. But if he's trying to be a doctor, that's a medical procedure.
True.
It is.
True.
I think that's okay. I think, like, boob job is one of those things that no matter what your loan is for, it's understood that if you get the chance to pay for a boob job, those funds can be applied.
I would not do it because I feel like when you break up, like, that's a messy.
Well, you take them back.
I want those back.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
It's like a ring. Yeah.
So I would probably avoid that. Just be like, why don't you pay for something? Why don't you pay for a nice dinner? I'll pay for my own boobs.
Mm-hmm. My ex ghosted me 14 months ago. After the home run derby, he texted me, "Fucking bullshit, Schwarber got robbed." What does it mean? Does he want to get back together, or does Schwarber hitting bombs make him miss me?
He was probably meaning to text somebody else.
Yeah, he's probably meaning to tweet me when I said that I didn't care that Schwarber got robbed.
Yeah.
That's I guess it got people that upset. They just like actually, this
is good.
What?
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Shoot your shot. You guys are back in touch. Very worst case scenario, he just doesn't respond to you.
And baseball, this is added to the analytics. Baseball's so back that it's getting people back together.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it hurt less for a girl to pee out a kidney stone?
They have those?
I didn't know that women had kidneys.
I didn't know they had kidney stones. I thought you had to drink a lot of milk, and girls don't drink milk. All girls are lactose intolerant.
Right. No, because when girls drink milk, it goes to their boobs.
Yeah.
So that they can give it to the baby later.
Yeah, so this is
uncharted
territory.
This is a guy that was pretending that he was a girl.
Yeah, he was.
And he doesn't know how female anatomy works.
Yeah, this is a guy who's got an abnormally large pee hole, so the kidney stone he pissed out didn't hurt that much. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why is this? His pee hole is so big it looks like a vagina.
Mm-hmm. Hate to see it.
Sup, guys, especially broken like Bubba. Sup. I find myself getting mad when girls slide in my boyfriend's DMs, but he seems to not care when guys slide in mine, especially after a recent bikini pic I posted. Why doesn't it bother him? P.S. How's the obgyn, Hank? Well, I don't know because I don't have a vagina.
So your boyfriend's Todd Haley, and you're definitely going to be swingers at some point.
Yeah, he's just seeing how that plays for you. He's like, hey, that's kind of cool that you're getting these DMs.
Or he's just waiting to use it against you in a fight one time.
He's like storing that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that, or it could just be like he likes the fact that guys find his girlfriend attractive.
Yeah.
Like maybe that makes him feel good about it. That's the most important thing about a guy dating a girl. He has to feel good that other people also want to date you.
Yeah, he has to have other people be like, hey, your chick's hot.
Yeah, there's no way for us to know if you're hot unless somebody else is trying to bang you.
Right.
All right, last one. Hi. Sometimes my boyfriend initiates sex in his sleep.
Yeah.
How can I tell if he's consciously doing it or not?
Sexomniac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just happens. You just get a boner and sleep.
But how can she tell if he's consciously doing it or not?
Have a password. Create a password.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be like some other chick's name. And then have him remember it, and then you can be like,
if you call me Amanda,
yeah,
then that means that you're awake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, have a password, or maybe like a little teach him how to do a Rubik's Cube and hand it to him right before you have sex while you're asleep.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's pretty sexy, actually.
And yeah, it just makes like math learning fun, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Actually, one more. My boyfriend listens to too much PMT and talks about it so much, and I can't keep pretending to care. How do I get him to stop without listening or make him think I care?
Stop being such a bitch.
Listen,
really the answer.
Listen, don't try to change him. He's got his interests, okay?
Yeah. He just wants to hang out with us. He just hang out with guys. Just,
you know what you need to do?
Safe place.
You need to get obsessed with the Bill Simmons podcast or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just like talk to him about Bill Simmons' dad and New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, just ask if everything's good or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is this sex good or not?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Exactly. So, yeah, but really just leave him alone. Let him have a safe space.
I can't tell if I came or not yet. Isn't that weird? Just like, you know, just kind of like riff using Bill Simmons' lingo just like he's doing. And
yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right. American League 1, 8-6.
Wow. Breaking news. First reported.
My bet cash. So
first reported.
Happy I am.
Okay. We'll see you guys Friday. We're back in studio. We have Dallas Braden and David Ortiz.
You love heard of them.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
Ball well hit. Right center. This could be it. And there it goes.
Yabo! Yabo! Yabo.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.